Gibson on the line. G'day, Paddy. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. And congratulations on the victory, effectively, of an outcome that should have happened, where Desmond Lidington, a neo-Nazi extremist who attacked your house, has been given a prison sentence.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was good to hear that he'd actually been given a custodial sentence, and a hefty one at that. I mean, the first Nazi who attacked our house and had a sentencing hearing about 6 months ago, Max Ferrer, didn't get a custodial sentence. He's just got a community corrections order. But Des Lidington was another kettle of fish. This guy has, you know, a violent record as long as your arm, and was actually on bail for domestic violence offences when he attacked our house. And he was given bail initially for the attack after he was arrested. But he then drove into a police car one evening about 2 months ago, absolutely loaded, drunk out of his brain, rammed into a police car. For some reason, we're not sure. It may be the case that he's actually trying to get inside so he can recruit for his neo-Nazi organisation. We're not sure, but... So he was already in jail when the sentencing hearing happened for that offence. And, yeah, I just don't think that the magistrate could justify not putting him away after the violence of the attack on our house, but also, you know, also many other offences as well.
Now, it must have been very frightening because it was you and your family, and you're an anti-racist campaigner, and it was around Black Lives Matter issues. When it comes to your home, it's a very domestic and up-in-your-face sort of affair, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it was awful. And, I mean, it's just important to acknowledge, I think, that this, you know, I'm non-Indigenous, I'm a white guy, and these Nazis, they, you know, routinely intimidate and attack Aboriginal people, people of colour, you know, LGBTI comrades. So there's a lot of people out there that are in the sights of these guys, and we really just express our ongoing solidarity with anyone that's facing, you know, the threat of the far right. But in this instance, yeah, they came to our house because of the role that I've played in speaking publicly in Sydney, particularly to defend protests, Black Lives Matter protests. They've tried to shut down the Black Lives Matter protests in 2020 and 2021 using COVID restrictions. And so it was a very contested time. And I was involved in some court case challenges with the family of David Dungay, trying to assert our rights to take the streets in that moment. And because of media interviews that I was doing at that time, I got a lot of death threats and a lot of threats and
death
really
threats.
Saw... Yeah, no, that's right. Yep, a lot of death threats, threats to the... sent to my work email, random text messages... a range of things. But, yeah, again, I would just like to acknowledge, like, as Aboriginal comrades of mine, that that's just their life, you know. Like, they organise all the time, and they receive a level of vitriol and harassment that I've never really seen. So it was, you know, it was quite extraordinary, the overwhelming sort of, violence and hostility in the messages that I was getting around that time of the Black Lives Matter rallies. And I must have got on their radar at that point because... there's actually Nazi websites where people are discussing me and putting the home address of my family actually up online. We didn't realise at the time, but, you know, subsequently have found all of this. On this day, three of them just decided that they were going to come here and smash up the front of my house and demand I come outside. We thought they were trying to force entry. You know, it felt like they were trying to get inside and hurt us. So it was pretty, it was a pretty awful experience, but it just goes to show, you know, the threat that these guys face. And there's a spate of bashings of homeless Aboriginal people here in 2021 that we believe was this organisation, Firm 22, they're called. They're actually a well-organised neo-Nazi outfit, and there's never been any proper investigation or justice for that. So, you know, they came here, there was plenty of security cameras. I've got quite a lot of political support. I mean, we've got support, my family in the trade union movement. My partner's a lead delegate, Matt Wosley, in the Maritime Union. So we've got some good political support. You know, people from the Labor Party made representations that something should be done about this. And so, you know, this attack was taken a lot more seriously than maybe some others are. And we're glad that that's the case, and we're glad to see that the police did take this seriously, and in this instance, you know, Des Livingston's been punished.
Just as a matter of interest, at the time, how long did it take for the police to actually come?
The police didn't come. So, like, when they were attacking the house, we came inside the house and tried to call the police, and, I called the police three times, actually, and they didn't come. They turned up about 25 minutes after the attack.
Right.
But it was neighbours who came and made us feel safe that we could come out of the house. So because we didn't know what was happening, like we thought, because the front windows were smashed. Mm. So, and they could get around the side of our house if they wanted to, but I think they didn't realise that actually there was a big skip in. But they could have come around the side, and we had a whole lot of glass at the side of the house. We were waiting for them to come, and you know, it was quite scary. But neighbours came and they ran away, and their faces were all over CCTV, and including the car they came in.
Mm.
And they were already under surveillance. That's the thing. Like earlier in the day, they were at a Nazi meeting that was already under surveillance. And so, while it's true that the police did take this case seriously, and you know. It's good to see this result. Like, actually, they know a hell of a lot more about these neo-Nazi organisations than what they're saying publicly. For some time, and actually the first guy, Max Ferrer, didn't get a custodial sentence because the police held back information from the court they had about Firm 22 because they didn't want to compromise their intelligence operation. But I think a lot more has to be done to actually expose the fact that you've got these hardcore, well-organised groups of people. They're going out training with weapons. Max Ferrer, when his house was raided, they also confiscated illegal ammunition. Mm. So, you know, this is a serious outfit, and, you know, there needs to be far more political leadership in terms of condemning and, you know, a political movement to challenge and, you know, break up this kind of organisation.
Did the police lay charges, or did you have to?
No, the police did lay charges. So what happened with the police was, as we said, they were slow to move, you know, so they didn't come at first. And then for the first 24 hours, we also didn't really feel like it was being taken seriously. In fact, one of the, like, lead coppers that they sent out to investigate, because he had a Blue Lives Matter patch on his uniform, and we couldn't believe it. Like, we thought, what's going on, you know? Or the thin blue line it was. They've got this patch, the thin blue line, that's like a sort of... You know,
yeah, the police.
Anyway,
I was going to say, I just started to think of blue people. We haven't got blue people.
No, that's right. Yeah. That's right. But it's been associated with the stuff in America about, you know, Blue Lives Matter and this sort of thing. So we were like, you know, oh, bloody hell, like, what's going on? Like, you know, were the police involved in this? You know, they didn't even bloody come. But like I said, like, we do actually, me and my partner have both been active on the left in Sydney and around the country for, you know, 20 years. So we do have, like, quite a lot of support in the trade union movement and, you know, even into the Labor Party. A fuss was made about this. The fact that the police hadn't done anything. And suddenly, after some phone calls, including from senior police that I've negotiated demonstrations with over the years, that I called and said, look, what the hell's going on? They're attacking my house and the police didn't even come. So some phone calls were made, and suddenly we had, you know, very serious detectives on the door the next day, and they were taking it very seriously. And we came to learn that they know all about these people. They know all about them. There's a massive, you know, no, it's not a massive organisation, but it's a serious organisation. And it's one of a number, and they're very violent, and they're active, and they need to be broken up.
They're active not just in Sydney, but all along the coast.
That's right. I mean, one of the guys came from Nowra. You know,
oh, my God.
The, house.
Yeah. The other thing was getting to the magistrate's finding, because something happens, then it gets sort of put into the interlegalese, and it's motivated by hate or prejudice, indicating that the offences were more serious and should be judged as race, hate, crimes, that it goes into another level, doesn't it?
That's right. So that's why his sentence was a lot, like, he got a custodial sentence, whereas the first bloke that I mentioned didn't.
Yeah.
You know, one of the reasons was all the evidence was on the table that this is a white supremacist organisation and they attacked my house because I was, you know, active in terms of the Aboriginal rights movement. So even though I'm white, it was construed as it was a hate crime because they came here because of our solidarity with
Okay. And then the next thing is that one of the three who hasn't been sentenced actually put his hands up and pled guilty and has been given a community-based order. But the third person has pleaded not guilty.
I know, and I don't know if that's going to last, you know. So I think he'd probably be looking now at Livingston's sentence and thinking, shit, you know, what am I going to do here? So he might, you know, he might change his sentence is what we think. But, you know, if he doesn't, yeah, we'll have to go to court about it. And if we do, you know, we're not going to be going alone. We're going to be, you know, making sure we, you know, bring support and, you know, have a strong demonstration to say that, you know, these people aren't welcome on our streets and we have to stand up and, you know, and fight them. But I think he probably might change his plea, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah,
it's March, that hearing.
Yeah. The other thing is that, Paddy, you draw some parallels with Premier Dominic, his dressing doesn't even bear thinking about.
Nazi uniform.
stating that he was pleased that the climate activist Violet Coco was sentenced to 15 months for stopping traffic for, you know, a couple of hours. That sort of thing. And right under his nose is this sort of these right-wing extremists behaving in this manner.
Yeah, no, that's right. And like I said, it was a surprise to us that to see the custodial sentence for Lidington. But then when we looked at it and we saw his violent record, they couldn't really not sentence him for that. But with Max Ferrer, you know, who didn't have a record, so he was charged with firearm offences.
Yep.
And he was charged with affray and intimidation at our house. And he got nothing. You know, he got a community corrections order and they're locking up people in Sydney, blocking traffic.
Yep.
Like, that's what these new process laws do, is they criminalise blocking traffic if the police don't approve of it. So it's a terrible situation. And, yeah, like we said in the press release, you know, we've got, you know, climate activists going to jail for sitting on the road and these Nazis were being let off. So we will see what happens with the next guy. But, you know, at least that Max Ferrer, he got away with virtually nothing. Yeah.
Mm. You also make Victoria shouldn't feel complacent. 10 Jewish headstones in a South Maitland cemetery were spray painted with the Nazi symbol last weekend, you were saying, in Sydney, while neo-Nazis were recorded giving the Nazi salute on Elwood Beach, our very own Elwood Beach in Victoria, in January this year. So alive and well.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, Dennis Livingston got sentenced to prison, good. But is that a solution to what's going on with the far right in this country? Absolutely not. Like, there's no policing solution to this. This, you know, this requires a very serious response from the left, from anti-racist activists. We have to stand up to the organisation of the far right, and we have to stand up to, you know, the racist mainstream politics that actually gives them oxygen and allows them to grow. You know, we're seeing in real time the dehumanisation of Aboriginal people with the whole debate that's going on about, you know, the Alice Springs, and they're bringing in explicitly racist laws that treat black people like children. You know, for God's sake, we're in a country where they can say we're going to ban a whole, you know, race of people from accessing, you know, borders. It's just, you know, open racism at the heart of our political system. And, you know, it's that allows the far right to fester and grow. So, you know, we are pleased to see the sentence against Lidington, but, you know, people shouldn't be complacent. These groups, you know, they are a very real threat, and they're a threat right across the country, and, you know, we have to organise.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Paddy.
No, thanks for the time. Thanks.
And that was Paddy Gibson, he is an anti-racist campaigner in Sydney. His house was attacked by neo-Nazis, and they've just put out the sentence for Desmond Liddington, who's part of FIRM 22, which is a neo-Nazi organisation, who pleaded guilty and has been put in jail for 2 years with a non-parole period of 18 months, unusually. Just to remind you that there is going to be a rally, migrants and refugees welcome, Nazi gyms are not, February the 25th, 1 p.m. at Sunshine Station. They're being ferreted out all over.